Welcome to Worship on the Hill. It's good to have all of you here this morning. Looking forward to being with you today because God definitely has something to say to us. And so I want to ask you to take God's Word, if you have it with you there, and open it up to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 22. And going to be looking there this morning. I'm going to be reading several verses here in this chapter and kind of get us started in that. And so it's going to be kind of a lengthy reading, more so than what we normally do. While you're turning there, let me just make a little announcement to you and kind of get something into your minds. Valentine's is coming, and there's some things happening in the community and in our world outside the context of the church that it's good for us to kind of have our eyes on that and know what's taking place in the community around us. You've probably heard over the last several weeks about the book, and now there is a movie, 50 Shades of Grey, that's coming out. And I want you to know, 50 Shades of Grey opens Valentine weekend. And 50 Shades of Grey is not a love story. It's kind of promoted that way, but it's not sweet. It's definitely not romantic in a biblical sense. It is dark and complex with regards to sexual experiences. It's going to be very graphic, and at times it's going to be even degrading. Now, the reality is, the reason that it should be on our screen is because it is having a huge impact on our culture. It's impacting our society. And book sales have already exceeded $100 million. And it is one of the fastest selling series of all times. 50 Shades of Grey has already surpassed the Da Vinci Code. And if it keeps on its present track, it will bypass Harry Potter and Twilight, which have been absolutely big. Now, too often what happens is the church comes out and condemns it. But I think rather than cursing the darkness, we just need to light a candle, you know, and give some light. And we need to speak to things. And when a book or a movie is a cultural phenomenon like this, it gives us an opportunity to speak to that. And that's the reason why I want to share this with you. And I want you to listen up to this, because I don't often do this, but I want to encourage you to go to the movies at Valentine's, but not to see 50 Shades of Grey. There's also going to be another movie that's coming out that has been written and produced by believers, and the movie is entitled Old Fashioned. And I want to encourage you to see that. From USA Today says, "Will old-fashioned romance fly in 2015? We say yes. In the Christian Post, it was, "The film is a sharp contrast from 50 Shades of Grey, which is also due in theaters on Valentine's Day. The primary difference between the two films lies in the God-honoring courtship found in Old Fashioned, which attempts to bring chivalry back to life." Freestyle co-president Mark Borda says the film specifically targets the unserved Christian singles community. "Chivalry makes a comeback," reads the film's tagline. Now, I have not spoken with our local film people here. It is not scheduled to be here in Lufkin. It's not opening everywhere, but it is opening in a lot of places. There are three places close enough to us that you could take your sweetie or go as a group of friends if you're singles and are on a date night or whatever. And that is Longview, which is not far from here, at the Hollywood 14 on Northeast Main Road. In Tyler, it's going to be at the Carmikey 14 on South Broadway, and it's going to be at the Woodlands at Theater TBD. And so it's going to be playing there. And so you can just check up on that. But I just want to put a bug in your ear about the movie Old Fashioned. And I've seen, you can Google it and go in and watch some of the clips. And it just really is going to be, I think, a great, great film that's going to just talk about putting God back into your dating relationship. And so just remember that. Get the word out and encourage people to go and see that. And it'll be a good alternative to 50 Shades of Grey. And it really goes along this morning with the message, which is entitled, if you've already got out your Life Point outlines, we're talking about listening to God's voice. And we are in chapter 22 of 1 Kings. Let me just begin reading with verse 9. I've got kind of an extended series here. I'm going to be jumping around a little bit, so just follow along. 3 years passed without war between Aram and Israel. In the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, which is Israel, is divided into two kingdoms. If you don't realize, there's the northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah. All right? Northern kingdom was usually led by ungodly kings. Southern kingdom is led traditionally by godly kings. All right? And so the northern kingdom has been without war between them and Aram. In the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, the southern kingdom, came down to the king of Israel. And now the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us, and yet we're still doing nothing to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram?" And so the king said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Now there's a lot of different teachings here, one of being which that as a child of God, you need to be careful about who you get into league with. You need to be careful about who you're in relationship with if you want to ask for God's blessing. Because Jehoshaphat, a godly king, is getting in league with the king who does not have a walk with the Lord, and it's going to bring problems. Verse 5, "Moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'Please inquire first for the word of the Lord.'" Let's find out what God says about this. "And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and he said to them, 'Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?' And they said, 'Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king.'" Well, that's a lie. "But Jehoshaphat said, 'Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?' And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He's Micaiah, son of Imlah.' But Jehoshaphat said, 'Oh, don't let the king say something like that.' And then the king of Israel called an officer and said, 'Bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah.'" Now go to verse 13. "Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, 'Behold, now the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably.' But Micaiah said, 'As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak.' And when he came to the king said to him, 'Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?' And he answered, 'Go up and succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hand of the king.'" It is dripping with sarcasm. "And the king said to him, 'How many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?' And so Micaiah said, 'I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace.' Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil?'" Verse 23, "Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put," this is Micaiah speaking, "a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets, and the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you." Why? Because you don't listen to him. Verse 26, "The king of Israel said, 'Take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this man in prison and feed him sparingly with bread and water until I return safely.' And Micaiah said, 'If you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken to me.' And he said, 'Listen, all of you people.'" So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up against Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and go into the battle, but you put on your robes," thinking that he'll bypass God's judgment. I'll go incognito and they won't get me, like the guy said. So the king of Israel disguised himself, went into battle. The king of Aram had commanded the 32 captains of his chariot, saying, do not fight with small or great, but with the king of Israel alone. In other words, get this one man. So when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And when the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew his bow, and at random, in other words, he just pulled back his bow and he just like, you know, boing, and let it go. And struck the king of Israel in the only place he could, in the one place in the back of his armor where the armor comes together. There's a line. And the arrow went straight through that and struck the king of Israel in the joint of the armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the fight, for I am severely wounded. The battle raged that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot in front of the Arameans and died at evening. And the blood from the wound ran into the bottom of the chariot. Verse 37, so the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. You remember we're looking at 1 and 2 Kings. This is your first time with us. 1 and 2 Kings are really history books in God's Old Testament. They're the history recounting of one king after another, the northern and the southern kingdoms. But there's one overarching message to 1 and 2 Kings. That's why we're looking at it as we start our new year, as we look at 11 months that are ahead of us. Because 1 and 2 Kings is about one thing. It is about God wanting desperately to help Israel get back on track with him. Just like you see in the life of Ahab. Ahab was not tracking with God. What did God do in our text today? God was seeking to get Ahab to listen to him. God wanted to do good to him. God wanted a relationship with him. And Ahab was not having any of it. So here's the insight I want you to notice in your life point outline, if you will. It is impossible to track with God if you don't hear from him and if you don't listen to him. That ought to go without saying, but it just needs to be said. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it here, and I'll probably say it again. What is the impact of this message on my life and on your life? Here it is. The secret to a productive life is listening to God. If I want a life that is blessed, if I want a life that is the best that it can possibly be, the more that I depend upon the guidance of God in my daily life, the more successful I'm going to be. And when I talk about success, I'm not talking about that I've got more and more money in my wallet. That may or may not come. But rather that the quality of my life and the living of my life is better because I listen to him and because I chase after him. Now, I hope that you will track with us here at Harmony Hill. Those of you who are our guests, we still have several Bibles out here that you can purchase at a much reduced rate. We are going through God's Word, reading through the Bible this year, taking the New International Version, chronological Bible, and we're reading through God's Word. Why are we doing that? We're doing it because that's the only way that I can enter into the blessing that God wants to do in my life. Because in order for God to bless me, God is going to be speaking to me, and I need to be listening to him. I need to be listening to what he says. And one of the things that you're going to find as you read the Word through this year, there are going to be phrases you'll see over and over and over again. And those phrases will be like, and God said, the Lord said, then God said. And you just see it again and again and again and again when you're reading Scripture. And what we're going to learn today is this, that while God is a speaking God, what you find so often in Holy Scripture, and particularly here in 1 Kings, is that people don't listen when God speaks. And that's the thing I've got to always ask myself. Am I listening to him? Now, I realize that as we come in this morning that there could be many of you that have kind of got a stumbling block with this whole thing. When I talk about listening to God, you're like, oh, dear God, here we go. Been down this road before. And I've been around some crazies before. And I totally understand that. There are people, preachers, so-called preachers, and Christian leaders who have abused this Bible truth and have claimed to have been led by God, and God has spoken to them, and this is what God has told me to do, and this is what God is wanting you to do, and you're supposed to follow me because God has told me this is what we're supposed to do. And what you wind up realizing is that they're actually doing nothing but seeking to feed their own personal desires. And one of the ways that you find out whether somebody has really heard from God or not, beloved, is whether or not what they say is backed up by this right here. God is a speaking God. If God wasn't a speaking God, how would I have known that I was supposed to be a pastor and a preacher of the gospel and not a dentist? Everything in me was to be a dentist. I was going to yank molars. That's what I wanted to do. The last thing on my mind was to be here. This is not on my screen. This is not my plan. But God said, you don't understand why I made you. I did not make you, even though you've got long fingers, I did not make you to put your fingers down in people's mouths. That's not why I put you here on this planet. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. The only reason I know I'm supposed to be here is because God is a speaking God. There is no place in here that says, John, thou shalt preach the word. It doesn't say that. I can't find it. But what it does say is that God calls men. God calls men to preach, to pastor, to be evangelists, to be teachers, and God called his prophets. That's clearly in the word. And so what happened in my life is backed up by Holy Scripture. That's how I know that it was the Lord and it wasn't just, you know, me having a bad supper or something. Maybe some of you have heard the name Vernon Howell. Maybe you don't remember that name, but you know him better as David Koresh. David Koresh led many well-meaning followers who wanted to follow God. He led them to that compound in Waco, and he used the ruse of hearing from God to feed his own lust. David Koresh had a harem of women because he was supposed to be King David all over again. And he took wives away from men, and the men became his army of protectors, and he had a harem of other men's wives. Totally ungodly and unholy. But all the time saying that he had had a word from God. So I understand when you say, you know, when you start talking about God talking, I don't have a very good response to that. And I totally understand that. And some Christians don't listen for God's voice and his leading. Because maybe there was a time in your life where you said, I thought I heard him, and I did this believing it was God leading, and it only turned out to be something wrong. You know what the problem was? The problem was, if you don't back up what you think you heard God say with this, it's always got to be in alignment with this in every way. And so I totally understand that. But here's what I want you to understand, beloved. God made me, and God made you to love you. When I think about God, you know, me being here in this church and this fantastic opportunity to impact people's lives, and I think about God reaching into the piney woods of South Arkansas and putting his hand on a boy of no mean background, parents who never made a splash in society. I spent most of my life in a five-room house attached to the back of a grocery store. That's where I grew up. That's where I was. There was nothing in me to commend me to God. And yet the thing that God has told me again and again, the thing that he backs up in the word, is the scripture says that God comes to us because he loves us. That's the reason he comes to us. That's the reason he's reached out to you. He wants a relationship with you and with me. And he wants us to know him just like he knows us. And I look at Scripture, and I see the Lord, the Savior of my soul. And when I read about Jesus, like in John chapter 5, Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. Only as I hear do I judge. And my judgments are righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, you know what that translates to me? If the sinless Son of God, the only one who ever perfectly fulfilled the Father's will, if he did not make a single decision independent of the Father's leadership in his life, why would I think that I could do a better life for God without getting leadership from the Lord on a regular basis? Listen, God wants to speak to you. God wants to guide you. And here's this next insight I want you to notice. It is impossible to have a relationship with God without talking to him and listening to him. And maybe maybe you're saying, I'm trying to break down all of your walls, okay? Maybe what you would say is, well, I'm afraid that I won't recognize his voice. I understand that. Catherine Green and I have been married 42 years. Thank you. When she calls me on the phone, she doesn't say, hey, this is Catherine. Catherine calls and she just starts talking. Do you know why? Because I recognize her voice. I mean, she doesn't have to say, John, this is Catherine. I'm like, I already know that. I know who I'm talking to. No identification required, okay? I'm good on this. You know, after 42 years of pillow talk, table talk, car talk, and just couch talk, I know your voice. I know your voice. You know, there's no problem here. After 46 years of being in relationship with the Father, I better recognize his voice today than I did 46 years ago. But I want to tell you something. When he came into my dormitory room at Southern State College in Magnolia, Arkansas that day, when I was a pre-dental student, when I closed that door after having finished a biology test that did not fare well, but we won't chase that rabbit, and I was going over my books again, God began speaking into my heart, and I knew exactly who it was. And the reality is, that's the first time I'd heard his voice. I lived the first 18 years of my life lost. So many times I could have gone out into eternity. It scared me to death that day. When God said, I want you to preach, I said, I don't want to preach. Preachers are poor, and I have no intentions of living that way. No, 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 no. I saw myself living in a little white clapboard house. Struggling to make ends meet. No, that was not my vision of how my life was going to be. And I said, Lord, I mean, I knew it was him. It's like, I'm going to be a dentist. God said, I want you to preach. I want you to preach. And when he wore me down, it didn't take long. And I got down on my face, on my knees. And I was just about to say, if you want me to preach, I'll preach. Before I get out of my mouth, and he said, and oh, by the way, you have never asked me to save you. I don't know you like I want to. And all of a sudden, my mind went back 18 years, all the way back to when I walked the aisle in the church at the age of 6. And I realized, right there, just like that, I realized I had walked the aisle. Nobody had talked to me. Nobody asked me a question. I wound up in the baptistry of First Baptist Church at Ralston, Arkansas, and I had never spoken with God. And God said, you've never asked me to save you. It scared me to death because I realized if I died, I was going to hell. God didn't know me. But yet he called me to preach his word. But he said, you can't even answer that until you're born again. So God met me where I am. I'm going to tell you something. God's meeting you where you are today. All of us are at different places. And the God who made you in your mother's womb is meeting you right where you are today. And there's stuff you think you know that you don't really know, but God wants to tell you if you will listen to him. And he will use his word as a springboard to get into your mind and to speak to your heart. And his purpose is, just like it was in Ahab, it is to save your life. So here's the next insight. God is a speaking God to those he knows. And if God doesn't speak to someone, and if they don't speak to God, then they don't know him. So I ask you a question. When's the last time God spoke to you? When's the last time you know that you know that you know God spoke to you? Well, if God has never spoken to you, you don't know him. Somebody say, well, Pastor, does God speak audibly to you? I mean, have you heard the voice of God? I don't have to. God speaks directly into my mind, just like he did that day when he came into my dormitory. You know, this air in here is filled with radio waves and TV waves, but we don't hear any of that going on. You know why? Because we don't have a TV or a radio turned on up here. And here's what God is saying. Do you remember, and I'll have to approach this differently at the second service, but do you remember those of you who can remember the 70s, you know, you weren't in a crib in the 70s, you were old enough so you remember this. You remember those things called CB radios? You know, citizen band radios. Remember that? You know, they were so popular. The truckers, you know, and there were songs and everything they're out about. You know, put the pedal to the metal. You know, I always thought that was cool. 10-4, good buddy. You know, all that. And, of course, the most familiar phrase was, hey, got your ears on? What does that mean? Are you listening? Are you listening? Remember that? Those of you who remember the 70s? Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Here's the deal. If I'm going to listen to God, I've got to be tuned in. So I want to ask you, are you tuned in? Let me dive into this. Man, destruction always comes to closed ears. Destruction always comes to closed ears. God has prophets. Or he did. And prophets were his spokesmen. There were two types of prophets. Those who said they were and they weren't. And those who were the real deal. And we see both of them here in Scripture. God would speak to a prophet, then they would make his will known to the people that he sent him to. And kings often, especially in northern Israel, would not listen to God. So in 1 Kings 22, you've got King Ahab who wants to go to war with Arameans, but he's not strong enough. So he goes to King Jehoshaphat and wants him to help him, come alongside and help him. Now, Jehoshaphat was a godly king. So he understood some principles of the word. And so it's just like, you know, before we jump off into this, I'm willing to help you. But before we do this, I want to know what God says about what we're planning to do. You know, it's like, let's pray about this. You know, Ahab was just ready to jump into it. Jehoshaphat had learned a lesson. You might write down someplace, Proverbs 16, verse 1. In the Living Bible, we can make our plans, but the final outcome is in God's hands. And that's still true. It doesn't matter who you are. You can make your plans, but God is the one who determines the outcome. Does that make sense? Do you know what that means? It means if you want to succeed in life, you better ask him first. About what his desire is. So if you want success, you seek wisdom from God first. So what does Ahab do? He calls 400 self-professed prophets. These are men who did not listen to God, and they had never heard a word from God, but they were speaking for God. And they knew Ahab wanted to go to war, so they said, go to war. God's going to be with you. Well, Jehoshaphat knew these guys were not godly men. I mean, he picked up on that. So often you can tell a faker, can't you? You know, he's kind of sensitive to that. He said, isn't there a real prophet of the Lord around here? And so Ahab said in verse 8 and 9, he said, well, there is a real prophet, but I don't like him. His name is Micaiah, because he never says anything good about me. Ahab lived a wicked life. What is he expecting to hear from God? Says, any word from a holy God is going to seldom be pleasant when I'm going in, living in disobedience to him. But why does God keep speaking to this king? God keeps speaking to him because God wants to help Ahab live a better life. Now listen, Ahab wants God to indulge him. God wants to transform him. God wants to make me a better person. If I am better, life will be better. We want God to indulge us. Give me this, give me that, give me something else. God says, I want to make you a better person. I can give you a fantastic home. I can have you drive in expensive cars. I can bless you in so many ways, and it will be like hell in your home. Or you can be driving a lot less and living a lot less, even so, and be enjoying every day of your life. Because I can give that to you. In fact, the scripture says the ability to enjoy life is a gift from God. So here's the insight. Ahab had shut out God's voice and he had stopped listening. Jehoshaphat was a wise man. And even if God says something you don't want to hear, you better listen to it. And so Micaiah in verse 13 through 19 gives God's word to Ahab. And it's, if you go, you will have disaster. You will lose the war. You will die. Now listen. Oh, now listen to me just a minute. This is the reason why you need to be in the Word. Why do I want you in the Word every day? Why do you need to be in the Word? Here's the reason. Because the way to have a blessed life, the way to succeed in life better, is not following somebody who's succeeding. It is to do what God tells you to do. Why? Because, listen to me. God's plan for him may not be God's plan for you. God did not tell Jehoshaphat, you go into this war, you're going to die. But he told Ahab that. He said, you go into this war, you will not survive. God has a plan for you. Do not be following other people. Follow him. Follow God. Because God's got a plan for you and me. That's why he put us here. And he ignored God's voice. And there are a lot of reasons to listen to God's voice. But here's a big one. Proverbs 19, verse 21 in the Amplified Version. Many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. All right. I've taken a lot of time giving you everything, but I've got to give you some stuff here. How did we hear from God? Number one, we hear from God primarily through Scripture, all right? The Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, the whole Bible was given by inspiration from God. It is useful to teach us what is true, what makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point. Look at the insight in your outline. Your Bible is God's first choice to speak into your life. The Word of God, the Bible is the only book that has His wisdom in it. It is the only book that gives you God's leadership that guides your life, corrects you, comforts you, and helps you. That's why we want you in the Word. That's why the Word has got to be a part of your life every day. That's why we're doing it. Somebody says, God just doesn't speak to me, John. He just doesn't speak to me the way he does to you. My question to you would be, are you in the Bible every day? Because if you're not reading the Bible, when God calls, your phone's off the hook. And God get a busy signal. Where are they? Oh, they had to rush off to work. I got so many things to do. Well, I guess you just want today to just be kind of a roll of the dice. You have no idea what's coming. You don't know what's ahead of you. You don't know what the challenges are going to be. You don't know how you're going to be tempted. And I guess you don't want me along because you never called out to me and got alone with me. And so God's going to speak to you through the Word. And then number two, he's going to use gifted teachers and pastors. And this is not self, no. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when we preach to you, you didn't think of the words as being just our own, but you accepted it as the very Word of God, which of course it was, and it changed your lives. One of the ways that God speaks to us is through those who are called and anointed by God to teach and speak the Word. That's how you hear from it. And I don't know how many times it has been, and it is such a blessing to me. When I'll finish a message sometimes, and I don't know how often this has happened. One of you will come to me, and it wasn't just one very long ago. I had had someone come up to me, and they came right up close to me, and they said, "I don't know how you're doing it, but you've got my house bugged. And I know you do, because there's no way you could say what you said and not know what's going on in my life." And I said, "Isn't it something to know that there is a God in heaven who knew you were going to be here today, who knew exactly what you were going through, who knew what you needed to hear in advance? And when I, this morning, over my breakfast meal or in my quiet time before I even ate breakfast, when I prayed and I said, 'Father, you know who's coming. You know what's going on in their life. You know what you need to speak into their life. And Father, I ask you to guide me in what I talk about and in what I say. Speak to me. Do something maybe that's not even in the notes. I don't care.' And God does it. Isn't that an amazing thing?" And you're saying, "So you're saying that God speaks through you?" Yes. I know that He does, and it's not because I deserve it. It is because this is one of God's chosen ways to speak to His people. He said, "I will speak through the men that I call to pastor and shepherd and evangelize and teach in my church. I will speak through them." And when you find a man who is called of God, a man who is anointed of the Lord, a man who loves the Word and is faithful to the Word, I will use him to speak into your life. Put yourself under that man. That's what God is saying. And I want to tell you, God speaks through you. If you are a believer, when friends come to you and they're wrestling with something and they ask you a spiritual question and you just begin to speak to them and direct them in the ways of the Lord, God is guiding you in what you say. So many of you have come to me and said, "I just got through counseling somebody and for the life of me, I don't know what I even told them." You know what that is? That's like, somebody will say, "Well, where was that in your notes?" And I say, "It wasn't in my notes." And I'm not going to be able to repeat that the second service because I don't remember everything that I said. God does things like that. And God will speak through you. And God will work in your mind in ways that you can't even imagine. And He'll put ideas and scripture into your mind because God wants to work through you to speak to people. So here's the next insight. If you want to speak God's truth to others, you need to hear His truth in large quantities. You need to hear His truth in large quantities. See, here's one of the huge stumbling blocks in the lives of average American Christians. We know everything about the last 24 hours, but we don't know what God has done in the past and what God is saying that He's going to do in the future. And what I mean by that is, we listen to the news and talk radio 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day. Let me give you a news flash. You don't have to know everything that's going on in the world. Huh? You don't have to know everything that's going on in the world. You don't. But if we're going to speak into people's lives, we've got to know the principles of God's Word so we can talk to people about the things of God. Here's the insight. You will live life better and help others more to listen to teaching and preaching in your car more than you listen to music and news. I'm just saying. And it doesn't have to be me, but just somebody who walks with God. And let me just give you this, and I'm going to jump on. God also speaks to us by pain. God, Proverbs 20, verse 30, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. There's a wise proverb written years ago that says, we don't change when we see the light. We normally change when we feel the heat. Huh? Most of us change when we can't do anything else but that. So here's the insight. God will resort to pain to get our attention and to change our way of living. Psalm 119, verse 67, I used to wander off until you punished me. Now I follow closely everything that you say. The punishment you gave me was the best thing that could have happened to me because it taught me to pay attention to your laws. Now let me give you two questions. And you've got the message today. Two questions for our invitational time. Here it is. Number one, are you in God's family? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. If you've never heard God speak to you, if you've never sensed the Lord speaking to you, drawing you to himself, telling you that you're a sinner, teaching you in your own heart that you need to admit your sin to him and confess that you're lost and that you're bound for hell without him, that he died on the cross for you. Just that he died for the world. He died for you. And you have confessed that to him. If you have never done that, you have every reason to doubt that you're born again. You have every reason to doubt that you're going to heaven. Because Jesus said, those who are mine hear my voice. And then lastly, let me say this. No, I'll go on. Here's the last one. Does God have your back? You know, are you in his family and does he have your back? Psalm 32 and 8, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Now listen, be real still for just a minute. Don't disturb the Holy Spirit. When you listen to God, God promises that he will guide you for the best path for your life. It may not be the path somebody else close to you is taking, but it'd be the best path for you. When I listen to God, when I listen to him when I like it, and I listen to God when I don't like it, but I listen to him. I listen to him. I heed what he says. Listen, when I do that, God is going to protect me from mistakes. He's going to keep me on the right path of the plan for his life, and that means my life's going to be better. It means my life's going to be better. And there may be some of you here, somebody here maybe this morning is thinking about moving in with somebody because it'd be financially beneficial, and you're not married to them. I'll tell you what God said. God said, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm going to tell you, if you do it, if you ignore his will, you will find trouble. Trouble's going to come. That will not end well. Guaranteed. It will not end well. Somebody maybe is being tempted to make an unethical decision, maybe to put something ahead of family or against the Lord. God says, don't do that. If you'll listen, he'll warn you in advance, and you will avoid a whole lot of mistakes in life if you just listen to what God is saying to you.